extremely grateful this morning for God's love and his generosity in meeting my need and your need, his love for you and for me this morning. It's what has inspired me to what I've been thinking of in sharing this morning is this great love and that God extended on your behalf and on mine, that we can experience this gathering this morning and the blessing of worshiping him in a collective way like this and being encouraged by his word. The message I have felt led to preach on this morning is a message that is something that's been going through my mind a while, but also I came across this passage in 2 Corinthians that really inspired me, but also, I must confess, spoke to me in my own need of growing in this area. And I trust this morning as we go through this passage that we can all be inspired to be faithful in this area of life. The title I chose this morning is Kingdom Focused Generosity. And I took my text from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. Can one of you boys explain to me this morning, what is the word generosity mean? What does it mean to be generous? Kind. Kind, that's right. What else? Maybe one of you girls has another definition too. Well, kind, being kind is definitely a part of it, and it is being willing to share and to give, to help others. Being generous is just being in the forefront, willing to do what we can because we care about somebody. This morning, with the way the title is kingdom-focused generosity. And we think of kingdom-focused generosity, it has to do with keeping our focus on our eternal goal and a focus on the goal of serving Christ's kingdom with what God has given to us. In our passage this morning, the Macedonians were an example of being just that. I'd like to read, before we go into the message, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 15. And just think about how these people were generous. They were zealous in their giving. And it was such a blessing to Paul and those who witnessed this. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How did that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality? For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I am For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burden, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much and had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Jesus Christ this morning is the greatest example of generosity, and I'm challenged and grateful to him this morning when I think about his generosity on my behalf and all of our behalf. Just think about for a moment how far his generosity went. His life on earth showed that. He spent countless hours. His life from young right on to his time of crucifixion was to meet the needs of society around him, to see those needs and help people. And it moved him to be surrendered to God's will in giving his life, the greatest gift of generosity that could ever have been given for you and for me. Now, with that thought in mind, let's think as we go through this message of what Christ expects of us in our generosity for his kingdom. What does he want you and me to do this morning? Jesus, give us the perfect example of how to be busy in helping people and needy people. Helping to be there for people who are hurting. Feeding, nurturing. Generosity isn't only about money, although money has a part at play in it, because it is something that God has entrusted us with to handle. But it's much more than just that. It involves so much of our life and our time. But it's worthwhile. Jesus clearly taught in the New Testament that the only way to be a true disciple of his was to be totally to forsake all and follow him. That is the only possible way to live a life of fulfillment and generosity. Can we be generous in our life and a bit selfish? Those two just do not go together. True generosity and giving does not do it out of a desire to be recognized, but rather to fulfill God's plan that he has for us in sharing what he has given and entrusted us with. We are accountable about these things, what God has entrusted to us with our time and our talents and what God has given to us. Jesus' generosity will never be matched by his willingness to give his life and his shed blood to save the world from sin and death. We owe so much back to him. These people in the Macedonian church here, these people that in our passage this morning, I believe they clearly understood that and lived their generosity because of their love for Christ and understood clearly what he had done for them. And it motivated and inspired them to do whatever they could to further the work of those who were ministering to the needs of the people, Paul and others. Whenever they traveled through, they were such a blessing to them because they were so liberal in their giving. Even though it is interesting to note that these people were poor. It says they were in poverty. Remember, God doesn't ask us to give something that we really don't have. God's only asking you to give something that you do have. And it can be just a talent that you have. Maybe you don't have the money to give. But be there for that, for who, whatever the need is. It could be just a friendly visit. Sharing words of encouragement. Letting them know that you're supporting them through prayer. I would like to look this morning at some points from this passage of what motivated these Christians to be generous. The first one I have here is their love for Christ. These people understood God's grace and love for them. This awakened in them a longing to contribute to the work of the church and the needs around them. And like I said earlier, these people didn't give just because they had abundance of things. In fact, in verse 2, it clearly states here that in great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and of their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You know, as I thought of that verse this morning, God often, when we're surrendered to Him in this area of life, God uses those times when we feel almost the most vulnerable, when we hardly have anything to give. We feel like we hardly have anything to give. But when our heart is genuine and we truly love each other, God can do so much with so little. And it is beautiful. It mentions that in great trial and affliction, they could still be generous. Maybe they had a place where Paul could just lay his head when he was there. Or somebody that was needy, that didn't have food, could just give them a meal and witness at the same time. These are small ways, but they're ways that God can do big things with them. Generosity is a manifestation of God's grace working within us, within our hearts. Generosity is not something that is sporadic or undisciplined and carelessly done. It is often thought through because it is something that is should be planned. It's intentional. It's something that is done with understanding and with purpose and meaning. When love motivates one to be generous, the love of God motivates one to be generous. It takes us to our second point that I have, is we can be joyful in our generosity, even though the generosity that we have shared may not seem big, and yet we can be joyful in the small things. These disciples did not let their deep poverty and trials that they experienced affect their joy in sharing with whatever way they could. Let's remember that. We don't have to do big things, but let's just fill the need where God has called us to fill it with joy. Let God do the increase. We are just called to do what we can. God sees and understands our poverty and our trials. And when we work together and share what we can with joy, God is always faithful in to bless those sacrifices of love. It says that their abundance of joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality or their lavish generosity. You know, it talks in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they're willing of themselves. Just because they give themselves, it says it's almost hard to describe how God took that liberal generosity and abounded it multiple times over. It touched many, many, and was such a blessing. People can tell when you're genuine in your generosity. They can tell if it comes from your heart, even if it's a very small thing. But never forget that even in a small way can bring such a blessing to each other when it's shared from a heart that cares and loves. May we not let difficulty, trials, and poverty dampen our enthusiasm to be generous. Even when we're generous in small ways, when it comes from the heart of love and concern and care, it affects others around them. It compels the others to want to be generous because they know what it's done for them. Just as we understand how much Christ's love has done for us. Is that motivating your generosity this morning? It spoke to me in my life where sometimes I might feel like I have a need, but when I'm honest with the situation and look at it, it's maybe more of a want than it was a need. Let's not let these things hinder us from being generous to others. Are we willing to sacrifice in these areas of life to bless others? In the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, it says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Gives some very practical and yet good points in that verse. It says, every man as he purposeth in his heart. There it speaks of someone who is intentional about being generous. They think it through. They think through what, remember what Christ did for them, and they in turn want to give back. It says we can't do it selfishly, grudgingly, or out of necessity. If their attitudes are present, your generosity probably will have not much effect, because it's not done from the heart. God simply loves a cheerful giver, one who's willing to sacrifice for others. Psalm 41, verses 1 to 3. I would just like to read that. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. God is faithful. When we are faithful in being generous, God is faithful to deliver us and to keep him alive and to give us what we need. The third point I have is it takes faith to be generous. So how could you look at these people? They were experiencing some poverty and hard times. And we can look at some of our moving up here and all the sacrifice it took. And sometimes we feel pretty poor. Because, wow, it costed a lot of money to settle in a new area and get settled. And now we're planning to, Lord willing, purchase a church. And it caused us to dig as deep as we can. And maybe we should have done that earlier. But it should motivate us and compel us to remember what Christ did for us and that this is his work. It's kingdom work. And it should inspire us to whatever step it is in buying a church or supporting one another. Inspire us to see too that this moves ahead because it's God's work. Have faith. It takes faith. I was inspired by what our congregation was able to raise and for this need. God bless you for that. And may you continue to be inspired. This is God's work. We might look at it as a simple building we're purchasing, but it's a lot more than that. It's touching the town of Stettler and the community here. there's a lot greater work to do than just buying a building. It's reaching out to our communities. Let's be generous in the work of God's kingdom. Faith in Christ motivates those who believe in him to have faith, to be generous. When we recognize the needs, even when we feel like we do not have much to share. God proved here in this situation that he could do much more abundantly than they had power to do even themselves. But they, because they give lavishly, they give without reserve. I believe when we share in whatever way we can, in spite of not feeling like we have very much to share. But when it is done in the spirit of faith and meekness and joy and love, God increases that generosity. Generosity compelled by faith in Christ reflects the love of Christ and the believer's commitment to sharing their blessing with others. Christ has called us to be his examples, and that is part of being an example. Generosity also highlights the importance of grace, where giving is not a duty, but a gift from God. It is brought out in this, in verse 9, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Christ desires that we experience the fullness and the richness of blessing in our generosity. This kind of generosity gives and does not expect things in return. We're willing to give and keep giving. Also, another point, our fourth point this morning that I see here is found in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gift. Prayer is essential in generosity. You know, we see a need and we understand that they're all around us. I believe it is important that we ask God for direction and how to direct our steps in sharing. I believe it's important, prayer also, to help us to see who ourselves for what we are and whether there is any area of selfishness in our life. We open our hearts to God. It takes an honest heart to be willing to open ourselves to God in this area of life. These people had a desire. I believe they prayed that they would be able, could continue to support the Lord's work wherever it was. They wanted to be active and involved in it, and they showed that by their lives. They cared deeply about the work of the church and the gospel message going forward. They also cared for their leaders and for the work that God had entrusted them with and their accountability in leading the church and helping to meet their needs as well. We do not need to keep track of whether or not others are keeping up with us, or rather we do what we can to inspire each other in this work. Have you pondered how your acts of generosity, when motivated by Christ, love in your heart, how that can impact someone else's life? We're not doing this to make a name, but we're doing this to lift Christ up and to honor God in all things. Through our willingness to give and support others, we not only demonstrate our faith in action, but also contribute to building a more caring and compassionate community. I believe when we act with generosity, we become instruments of positivity and hope. Hope in Christ to a world that craves kindness and compassion. It's a way to show love, that we can love and care for them. I come across a quote somewhere, I can't remember exactly where it was, but it said, if everyone had this kind of love and generosity, there would not be relationship problems in church life or with each other, because we would look at needs and whatever in such a different way. It's in how rather than critical way, we look at ways we can enhance each other's relationship with God and with each other. We want to build that. And generosity goes so far in that, building relationships when we are motivated by Christ's love. This kind of generosity helps us to forget ourselves and focus on the needs around us. The fifth point I have is generosity takes a heart of commitment to the work of Christ and the church. The more we are committed to give in our own generosity to give, the more God will enable us to give. These people were totally committed to generosity because they knew and understand full well what Christ meant to them in their lives. They understood that the only true fulfillment comes from serving and giving themselves to this work of the church and for the work of Christ's kingdom. Paul was deeply inspired and blessed to see this generosity and support, and how these people were struggling themselves and yet were willing to stick their necks out, so to speak, to meet his needs and needs around them. It was inspiring to him. I believe these acts can be such a blessing and encouragement to those who may be struggling in their life. Even Paul maybe felt burdened with his heavy load at times. But seeing these acts of generosity from people that were going through hard times themselves inspired and motivated him. And that does the same for you and for me. When I can see that evident in fellow brother's life, it is such a blessing. This kind of commitment and generosity builds spiritual perspective, character, and it shows spiritual maturity. The sixth point I have is generosity comes with vision. Can you imagine how could we be generous when we don't have a vision for the work of the church and for God's kingdom? We need vision. We need to teach that to our children, that this is a worthwhile cause to be generous in. It's the most worthwhile cause on this side of eternity to serve Christ's kingdom and be generous in this. Lavish generosity for Christ's kingdom. This vision of what God wants for the church in adding souls, saving souls for his kingdom, should inspire generosity, because we understand what the value of one soul is. I heard an account of an old grandmother that prayed for 30 some years for her son's salvation. That's a form of generosity, because she took the time out of her day to be on her knees pleading for God to be merciful and to help her son find salvation. Are we doing that for those that we recognize as needs around us? Let's be generous in our prayer life. G. Generosity inspires a believer to faithfulness, knowing we have a heavenly goal someday. And that same vision of heaven will motivate and inspire us to help others on to glory someday, because we care that they too can experience blessing in eternity someday. When we think of that, how can we hold anything back selfishly? God says we will give an account for that if we do that. But we can change that. Let's be spontaneous in our generosity for Christ's kingdom and saving of souls. Seventh point I have is it takes a willing mind, like it says in verse 12. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God is not asking you to give something you don't have. But just be willing and cheerful in where God takes you in this. Give what you can. We must be disciplined in our walk and devotion to Christ. It helps us to keep our focus where it should be. It helps us to understand that we need to give all to our ability that God has given to us. Give all to your ability. It's part of forsaking all and following Christ. A willing and disciplined mind will be honest in their hearts toward others. They will not be selective in who or what needs they help with. I believe those who are generous with a willing mind are not only thanking God that their own needs were supplied, but also glorifying God because of his grace and work in the lives of the givers. Giving also increases affection for one another. Philippians 1, verse 3 to 7. I'd like to just turn to that. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you, and making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Paul is encouraged and blessed by those whose generosity towards him was evident, and they stood by him in the work. We need each other. We need each other to be generous in our time with each other. And sometimes it's holding up the hands of the feeble when they're weak. Maybe there's an erring brother. Maybe somebody's failed. Generosity will step up to the plate, and you will pick that, walk alongside that person and do what you can to help them to be restored, because your love and generous spirit cares about that person. This same generosity can also have the same effect on those who are not are non-Christians, those in our society around us. When they see the love and unity and the blessing of this lavish generosity with one another and with them, it speaks loudly of what Christ designed for his church and for his work. In conclusion, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's main purpose in a kingdom-focused generosity is to bring people to Christ. Kingdom-focused generosity is not measured by the size of the gift, but rather by the size of surrender. God loves a surrendered giver. Let the gratitude of God's grace motivate your generosity. Remember, Christ was willing to become poor so that we may be rich. May God add his blessing.